I mean, this report does bear out what you've been saying to us for quite a while, which is that it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening now. And I think as each turn of this report goes round, the picture gets clearer, sharper, more in focus. And what we're seeing is it's nastier and faster than we thought even 10 years ago.
Oh, is there? Can you give an example of where it's happening quicker than we expected?
The Arctic sea ice is the very dramatic example of that, where people were talking about maybe by the middle of the century that it will be gone, and now they're talking about perhaps in the next 10 years, so gone during the summer. So we've seen that in other areas as well, but that's the most dramatic example.
Well, we're asking if you're listening to the radio and you can see climate change where you are, whatever it is, 0500 288 291 is the number to call. Email vine@bbc.co.uk. Probably phone numbers better for us, you can get straight through. Coral reefs were mentioned there, Tom, and the idea that they might sort of just go, and I was trying to work out how that would happen.
Well, that's because there are a combination of things affecting the coral reef. Actually, one of them is heat stress, and that makes it more difficult. You get bleaching of the corals when the water gets too warm. But we're also making the water more acid by the same carbon dioxide emissions, and that adds to the stress. And so we're quite likely to lose the coral reefs if we don't do something very urgently. We've already damaged by this and a number of other factors, about a third of the reefs around the world.
Oh, really? So what, the famous coral reefs and the off Australia and all that are looking different than they did 25 years ago?
In some places, they are really getting hurt.
Okay, Mark Davis says, I've seen a lot of guidebooks for butterflies and insects. It's obviously his thing. One printed in 2008 had the areas where you could find comma butterflies, with the most northerly region around Yorkshire. Last year, I saw some much further north on Tyneside. The changing climate is having an effect on butterfly distribution and behaviour. So what, they're able, because it's warmer, they're able to go further north, those butterflies?
Not just butterflies. Butterflies and plants and birds are all moving further north exactly for that reason. And not just in this country, but around the world. And interestingly, where you get species on mountains, you're finding the same thing happening vertically.
Well, Steve Slater's in Newquay. And now, what's the picture in Newquay, Steve?
Well, obviously, we've realised that we're in the front line in the battle against climate change. This winter, we lost coastal businesses, and obviously a key part of our infrastructure was swept into the sea due to the increasing severity of these storms we get now.
Yeah, well, the Dawlish railway crossing may be back in and running in a couple of weeks or so, somebody said.
Yeah, but it's still by the sea. It's obvious that we need an extra line through. We're hoping that Cornwall should have two railway lines, and the old one shut down by beaching, the one at Roehampton should be opened up again. Because we're on a peninsula, we're very vulnerable to being cut off from the rest of England, or England cut off from Cornwall, depending on how you look at it.
But Tom, are we sure that the slashing effect of the sea in that storm was climate change?
Yeah, climate change certainly played a part, and the Met Office said this, and you're not going to get a single event caused by a climate changing. What's going to happen is the frequency of these very extreme events is going to increase.
Thank you, Steve, very much indeed. David Woodhead says on text, some say global warming will cause Kent to be a desert. Others that the UK is going to freeze if what he calls the North Atlantic pump stops. They can't both be right. Is that does that mean either could happen?
I think both could. I doubt Kent will become a desert, but what is interesting is we're likely to see an increase of the wine industry. One of the small number of businesses that will probably benefit in this country from a changing climate will be the wine industry, because as it gets warmer, we'll be able to compete a bit more aggressively with France.
Let's talk to Adrian, I want to say Chalet, in Edinburgh, just outside in West Lothian, actually. Hi, Adrian.
You're welcome.
Now, so you've been working on environmental stuff, I gather.
Yes, I've been working in environmental projects since I was 17 years old.
How old are you now?
60s.
60, okay, right, so you can give us a great perspective then, Adrian.
Well, I've seen, over this period of years, I really first became aware of this in probably the 70s, 80s.
Uh-huh.
I did a lot of water management work and coastal reserve work, and we used to talk about climate change then. But more recently, and closer to home, obviously we've got the rest to be thankful in our Argyll, which frequently gets washed out. I've worked in National Trust gardens in Argyll, where the mountain footpaths have been washed away, had to be replaced time and time again. All sorts of footpath erosions in the West Highlands, and coastal erosion around St. Cyrus near Aberdeen district.
Yes.
And we had to do restoration there, protect the sand dunes and species. And also through the travels over a period of time, I've seen glaciers that have retreated in the Canadian Rockies, the permafrost in Alaska, where roads are starting to making the roads disappear, and they can't use a big transportation for the oil and things. I've seen in Scandinavia the acidification of the forest in Finland and Sweden and Norway. All sorts of examples like that. So it's happening over a very long period of time. In fact, put it in perspective, really it probably started in the Industrial Revolution and all the revolutions that have gone in other countries since that period.
Yes, a very interesting perspective, Adrian, particularly the stuff in Scotland. And Tom, I mean, it's interesting because he's got the perspective of having done it for 50 years.
No, and he will have seen, as many people will have seen, the changes. We are a nation of gardeners and bird watchers, and we will all have seen those changes going on. But if you live in Scotland, one of the things you'd worry about is what happens to the ski industry.
Well, I'd heard somewhere that it's coming up again, but I don't know. We need to find out, actually. Certainly it's taken a hit over the last 20 years. I don't know. They still have skiing.
Well, but it's what you'd expect, just that you'll get less snowfall. It will be less available. You're already seeing a shortening of the ski season in large parts of the Alps.
Right. Ashley Cooper is in, funnily enough, Ambleside. You surely you're calling in on the right story, Ashley?
I am calling on the right story, Jeremy. Good afternoon.
You're not complaining about the Premier Inn there?
No.
So you take photos of places impacted by climate change. So again, give us your perspective.
Yeah, I run a photo agency called Global Warming Images. I've been documenting the impacts of climate change on every continent around the planet for the last 10 years. And what I see kind of truly scares me. There are so many different impacts.
Just give us one example.
Okay, Jakobsen Glacier on the west coast of Greenland. It's the largest glacier outside of Antarctica. It is now calving enough ice in one day to keep the whole of New York going for their water needs for 1 year. It recently calved a section of glacier the size of Manhattan.
You mean calving, melting, yeah?
Yeah. Big sections of the glacier breaking off. It's retreated something like 27 miles, I think, in the last 50 years. And that, of course, is driving sea level change. And I was down on Funafuti and Tuvalu a few years ago, the smallest country in the world. And they are getting swamped by sea level rise. I was down there for the highest tides of the year. The middle of the island on Funafuti at the highest point of the highest tide of the year was 4 feet underwater. It's just not sustainable. They're going to be wiped out within sort of 20 to 30 years.
And Tom, how long has the Maldives got, as far as we know?
Well, the Maldives, have quite a lot of difference in the Maldives, but the same sort of period, as hence the level of anxiety expressed by the Prime Minister there a couple of years ago. They really see, one, their existence going, but before that, the whole tourist industry will really be destroyed.
The discussion we had with the correspondent was along the lines of, okay, it's bad, they're saying. Is there any way of making it good if you don't actually try and sort the CO2 emissions? Is there any way we can take advantage of this? Or live in boats or something?
Wherever there's risk, there is always an opportunity for someone. So you'll always get some opportunities as things change. But climate change is a bit like diabetes. It's a progressive disease. If you don't deal with it, it gets worse and worse. And so you have to take stronger and stronger measures to keep, as it were, the body of the planet healthy.
So it's the first time we discussed it, and here we are at 1:30, where we haven't had anyone say it's not happening. We haven't had Lord Lawson in here. I haven't even asked you a question saying, come on, it's just weather.
Yeah,
is that a record?
I think that is a record. I think it's a good record. And at last, we're facing up to reality.
But what about the listener who's at home and has now thrown their radio out of the window three times because they think I've missed that key question?
Well, I understand that listener's feelings. I feel like that quite often when people say the problem isn't happening. So I understand the feeling. But I think it's quite clear now that the mood really has changed, not just in Britain, but actually around the world. And people are now at least accept the problem is there and it's happening. Now there'll be a big debate about what we should do about it.
Tom Burke, environmentalist from Imperial College London, thank you very much indeed for coming in and joining us, talking about climate change in the wake of this big intergovernmental panel from the UN with loads of... How many scientists was it, Tom, actually?
390 sort of authors, lead authors on the report.
So a lot of them saying climate change is happening and happening now.